Hello, EuroLeague fans. It's time to make history. EuroLeague 25 voting starts this week. Swipe through 100 basketball legends who you think have made their mark on the competition. How it works, you swipe right to keep them in the game, you swipe left to move on, and once you find your GOAT, you swipe up to crown them MVP. Your vote will help decide on the 25 greatest basketball players, so don't miss out. Use the QR code right here or head to the link in the description below and start your voting now. Hello, EuroLeague fans. Welcome back to EuroLeague and Friends. I'm Shani Blatt talking to you from Tel Aviv, Israel. For those who are joining us for the first time, EuroLeague and Friends is brought to you by 9 contributors across the world. We love the EuroLeague. We love talking about it, debating over it. With me here, I have 3 women on board, my co-hosts. They love basketball as well, the EuroLeague. Let's introduce them. Okay, the first co-host with me is from Vilnius, Lithuania. Please welcome the amazing Asta Zukaitė. What's up, Asta?
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Labas visiems. It's great to be back with you and talk about everything happening in the EuroLeague.
Definitely, Asta. We're so happy to have you here. And our second co-host from Paris, France. I mean, the unbeatable Luna Jackson, just like her team from Paris. Luna, you're probably walking on the clouds right now. Give me that little TJ Short dance, you know, after games.
Bonjour.
Like, you know, we're counting, like, yeah, we don't have enough hands right now. Like, it's too much. Yeah, I'm so happy to be back with you guys. Like, I can't wait to talk about this crazy week, especially for Paris.
Definitely. We're going to have to talk about it, no doubt. And my good friend from Munich, Germany, Lisa Rabuschkat. What's up, girl? How are you?
How are you, girls? Very excited to be kicking this off one more time and especially excited to hear everything from Paris as well. So let's go.
Definitely. So, girls, we're going to have to talk about so many topics today. Obviously, we're going to head with Paris being unbeatable, 10 wins in a row. After that, we're going to follow it with the French Derby. Also, some players on the rise. And of course, Vasilis Spadoulis is being the head coach of Monaco and how he's doing with the team and getting along with the superstar Mike James. Also, maybe Alba seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, Lisa. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And also Bayern Munich's situation. I mean, they're just also undefeated at the SAP Arena. That's pretty great. Before all that, let's jump in touch with our first topic about this double round week. I mean, we see teams finishing with a balance of 1-1. Girls, what do you think about this season, looking at previous seasons as well? Do we think this is the most balanced EuroLeague season so far? Tell me your thoughts. What do you guys think? Lisa?
Yeah, I was just like, let me fire away. I mean, just looking at the standings right now, everyone from standings 3 to, through 5 or 9 and 5, we have the same situation from 7 through 9. So everyone's just, you know, really performing. The exciting teams are actually performing. And I mean, it's safe to say that it's one of the closest seasons so far.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Has to go
honestly.
Ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, trying to predict like games is like flipping the coin. So yeah, Paris is dominating. But other teams, one night they can be excellent, and the other night they can be out of the rhythm. So no one is safe in this EuroLeague, I would say.
No one's safe. Yeah, definitely.
There's so much suspense. Like, we don't know like how it's gonna turn in the end. You know, like, I think at the beginning of the season, like, all the cards were just rooted. So they were trying to, you know, to feel each other, like, okay, who like is dominating, who's gonna be the best or not. And right now I think like it's really balanced. Like, it's, I think it's good. And as you say, Asta, like, for example, you can win and then you can lose really well too.
Yes.
Like, what's going on?
We've seen it like
every
happening.
Game matters.
Every game matters. Yeah. But I wanna raise a question and tell what you guys think. I mean, we've seen, you know, more NBA players, you know, coming into the league and kind of, you know, making somewhat of a different impact. I mean, Evan Fournier in Olympiacos, Kendrick Nunn, Jabari Parker, Chidi Osman, and Lonnie Walker. Do we think that this might have an impact on why this league is better and even more?
That's interesting.
What do you think, Lisa?
I like the question, and it's definitely true that these guys are coming over, but I really feel like the discussion should be more like, how do they have to adapt to the European style? And I wouldn't say that the impact, you know, coming from overseas to the EuroLeague mm-hmm. is the reason why we're so close. There are so many incredible European players, especially Definitely. This season as well, stepping up and making a huge difference on the courts as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously so cool to have more talent from all over the world in the league for sure. But, you know, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily the point.
Yeah, okay, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another point, you know, with these guys, with we have like a bigger hype in our countries. Like yes. with Lonnie Walker, when we heard that he signed it with Žalgiris, mm-hmm. oh my God, it was the reaction, wow, it's really happening. So the hype is bigger. So we have right. like more attention. I think yeah. this is my answer.
Yes,
yeah. most definitely.
Yeah, yeah, it's about like, yeah, it's. I think it's more like a breath of fresh air, you know, like it's really mm-hmm. refreshing to have them, like to see, like for some of them they are like former NBA players, so I think they can really bring a lot of experience. But as you said, like Lisa, I think they have to, you know, adapt to the EuroLeague game. So I don't think like they changed the game. I think they brought their things, but I think you can
of course
you can adapt easily with the other players on the field. So I think it's like a it's more like a I don't have the I have my French word like yeah exactly well, but I think yeah. it's good.
Yeah, just maybe one another point that I think that teams don't have time to practice mm-hmm. here in EuroLeague. So many mm-hmm. double weeks, you know,
crazy.
Just no practice, only recover and play. For example, yes. Žalgiris is facing through a brutal December. 11 games, so that means every 3 days. And that means there is no time to teach the new guys like Lonnie Walker
how to adjust.
Exactly.
Better. Yes.
Yeah. Every game in EuroLeague is tough. Mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is our EuroLeague.
But I feel like players love playing more than practicing. But for coaches, that's the big challenge. That's the biggest yeah. challenge to kind of build around and new players coming into the teams. So most definitely, that's the biggest challenge. But girls, we've been talking about hyping NBA players, hyping the league. But I want to talk about the teams that's been hyping the EuroLeague, Paris Basketball. Yes, Luna, I know. Do that thing over there.
Who are you talking about? Sorry? What?
Yes.
Like, oh, you mean Paris, like 10 wins in a row, right?
Yes, that's right. 10. Right. Okay. That's it. But no more fingers for TJ Shorts. I mean, he's going to have like, to grab another one from...
It's enough, please.
I don't know.
Bring us some hands.
Yeah. Well, we have to address, I mean, this sensational game against Olympiacos. We've all seen it. It was probably the most exciting game I've seen in the EuroLeague in years. Olympiacos made a 22-0 run. I mean, we saw Vasilikis summarizing it at the end of the game. And I thought, I was like, okay, that's it. Paris is going to get their first loss tonight. But not in the books of TJ Shore. It's not in the books of Nadir Hifi. I mean, Luna, talk to me a little bit about the crisis Paris had in those moments and how they were able to overcome it and win the game 96-90.
First, let's say that it was like a big game for Paris. Like, it's not just another game. I mean, Olympiacos is one of the best defenses of EuroLeague. So let's say about this. And also they have like Evan Fournier, which is like, who is really clutch. So we cannot say like, okay, it's going to be an easy win. Like, we knew the... I always say we like it's crazy. I mean, I'm a part of the team.
Okay, you're part of the team.
Like, I think they agree with you. So I think they were like really they knew the challenges, and right. I think like they had a really good advance. You know, they mm-hmm. were leading by 20 points, but I think like the third quarter and the fourth quarter was really hard. And at the end, Olympiacos scored like 22-0.
Yeah, 22-0. That's the run.
Crazy run. Yeah, so that's the moment we were really, really scared. And I think, let's say something like it's 10 wins in a row, but it's so much like, as you said, Asta, like they're tired, you know? And also like they're exhausted because they gave them their best all the time. So I think like that was really tough to, you know, I don't have my words. That was really,
to find their way back, but they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Great shot, but
yeah. But I think like Maudolo, you know, was really clutch at the end of this fourth quarter. I think they really they were back by, you know, stay together, stay strong, stay collective. And I think this is the power of this team. Like, they're really about collectiveness. You know, I think that's what works the best. I mean, they, you know, they just don't give up because it's hard. You know, they're like, okay, how can we do better? Even if it's hard, even if we're tired. Some, you can see some teams in EuroLeague, sometimes they're like, okay, we're losing, but you know, how to make the effort? We are like, we're out of the game, etc. So yeah, I think it's their power, you know.
Lisa, did you watch, you probably watched the game, didn't you?
I just watched a first half this morning, so I can't say anything, unfortunately, about the third and fourth right now. But yeah, it's just so interesting to see, like, also from like a psychological point of view, like everything is going so well and everyone is like hyping each other up while still staying humble. And I really like the Tyson Ward quote. He said, if we look ahead, we're going to be fools. So, you know, they're really staying in the moment. They're just trying to take everything on that's happening in this moment and, you know, not trying to lose their heads over this incredible run they're having. Actually, girls, I have a question. Do you guys know what the longest winning streak in EuroLeague is?
The longest? Is it Paris's right now? Or is it a team?
It's not Paris's.
It's not theirs. Even a... Wow.
Yeah, because I know that Monaco, last year, Monaco was like 8, you know, something like this, right? Something like that.
Maybe there was 11 in a row. I don't know.
I think 11? Barcelona?
Yeah, maybe.
So, guys, no, we're all.
Oh my God!
So, I had to dig deep because the longest one. We have to look way back. It's been in 2006-07, right? And it was an 18 games winning streak by CSKA Moscow.
Wow!
So, I dug That's out this little fun fact, and I was wondering if you guys think that Paris might be able to beat it this season.
Yeah.
Well, listen. From how they're looking, yes. I mean, I've seen this really funny TikTok or Instagram reel that there's this famous when there's a guy who comes and like starts slapping everyone, you know, and like putting them down.
I know that
and
one
you
too.
See like all the images of the teams and then Paris just slapping everyone down. So, I mean, Paris is just, you know, showing great offensive flow. I mean, I feel like they have what it takes. They have that one guy that will show up and shine for them. You know, like Mao Dolo did in that last game against Olympiacos. I feel they're just like a team that, you know, is running together for a long time. And also Coach Spitter is doing a fantastic job. He's believing in his players. And I felt like he wasn't very nervous also when Olympiacos made that 22-0 run. Because he holds them back together. You know, he brings everyone in and lets them have their rhythm back. So that's for me. I see Paris now beating everyone. This newcomer from the Eurocup is actually insane. And Asta, Paris is also stealing the spotlight in Lithuania right now, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. stealing the spotlight in Lithuania. And our social media is buzzing. Our fans are already comparing them to legendary Žalgiris in 1998. And you know, it's not without reason.
It's like a big honor.
It is. And there are so many interesting and intriguing coincidences. And you know, the things are happening again. And this Paris team feels a lot like Žalgiris because in 1998, Žalgiris won the Eurocup. The next year, they went on a dream run and won the EuroLeague. DG Shorts, he's just like Tyus Edney, the same height, so small, but just unstoppable. Žalgiris brought a lot of fresh air and new basketball ideas back then. And Paris is doing the same. So, you know, honestly, I would love to see Paris repeat what Žalgiris did. And, you know, Luna, I just want to confess, when things started with our podcast, I thought Paris basketball and as well, it's the bottom teams. And I thought, poor Luna. That was so wrong. I was so wrong.
Well, yeah. I must say, like, you know, I follow this team since like a couple of years now. So like, I'm used to it, you know, like we're underrated as usual. Like I told you guys, like at the beginning, I was like, maybe a Final Four can be like, you know, and you laughed at my face. I remember that.
Girls,
I will never forget.
The only team that, you know, went to the Final Four from the Eurocup.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys know that, but it was Lokomotiv Kuban in 2016. Do you think Paris?
That's wild.
Yeah, do you think Paris can, you know, can reach to the top the end of the season? Yes, Luna.
Yeah, I think after like we need to say that, you know, the playoff and the Final Four isn't the same game and the same energy as the regular season. Let's be honest about this, but I think they have what it takes because they learn from each game every single time to progress. And as you said, like they. they take game after game. They're not like, okay, let's be like this for the season and then be like this for the playoff or anything. I think they know like to focus on each game, of the essence of the game, you know? Like they know like, okay, we need to work on this right now. We don't think about other things. So I think that they have what it takes to be on the Final Four. Like my hot takes, sorry.
Paris for me is a love and football city. Yeah. Could you feel more hype about this basketball team in your city?
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, we did see you guys celebrate together after the fourth quarter, right? You're like right in the middle. So I'm sure you're feeling it.
I'm in the center. So yeah. I think now we people get the hype and wants to go, even if they don't know like basketball or stuff, they just want to go to see this. It's like a show, you know, it's a real spectacle. So I really think they want to see. I mean, and also it helps, like, as you said, what I like the most about this team is that they don't get hate from other teams' fans, you know? For example, did you see like Olympiakos, like when Nadia Rifi like did a steal, you know, and then made the 3 points? I mean, even Ivan Fournier was like, who are you, Nadia Rifi? Who are you? And all the fans were like, I want to clap, but I won't, but my respect.
Yeah,
you know, so
I
think, yeah, it's really likable. Yeah, it's a likable team. So
yeah,
that's
it's a likable team.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Girls, upcoming next, Asta, I hope you made your question. We're moving to the French Derby. We just have to talk a little bit about that. You know, they're meeting, Paris is meeting Asvel Villarban, who had a good game, but lost in away game against Milan. Théo Maledon, you know, he's doing everything for Asvel right now. MVP of round 13, averaging 18.4 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 4.6 assists, and a PIR of 22.9. Do you think, girls, he can carry Asvel to a win against Paris in the upcoming derby, Lisa?
I really don't. And I mean, it would be stupid to just say Paris is on this crazy run, so they're just going to, you know, be in another team ranked so far away from them,
right,
in the lower third of the league right now. You can't go as Paris like into this game thinking you got it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But just as we just established, they are focused. They
yes.
are not... You know, they're not arrogant. They're not taking this for granted. So I'm really thinking that they're just going to, you know, keep the chip on their shoulder, stay locked in, and really take this one as well.
11 in a row.
Yeah, I think Paris has everything to win against as well. Then the next week to win against Real Madrid and push it to 12. And if anyone can stop Paris, it's Sharas and Fenerbahce. This is my opinion.
Oh,
wow.
Hot take.
We're going to
okay.
be waiting for that, no doubt.
Yeah.
Girls, so now we're going to move on to talk about a little bit of a less successful team, but we're going to talk about one player, Rokas Jakubaitis. Asta, this is for you now. This is your time to shine. He is playing a stellar role in Maccabi Tel Aviv. I mean, he's basically one of the leaders of the team for the first time in his early career. How do you see his contribution and addition to the team so far? I know you guys are in touch and talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this could be his breakout season, and I did it. And I had a chance to talk with him recently, and he told me that he can't remember the last time he was so happy and felt so good in a team. And he said that the left foot basketball just came back, and my reaction was whoa. That doesn't mean that it went away, but he feels motivated, he feels inspired, he feels respected by both, by teammates, by coaching staff, and this is the first time in his career when he is a leader on the team. So, yeah, like, we are so happy in Lithuania for him. And Shani, just have you had a chance to meet Rokas or just to get to know him better?
First of all, yes, I have. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he's a single guy. And
yeah.
They're like just posting about him on Instagram for all the Israeli girls, you know, if they want to date a Lithuanian cute young guy.
Yeah,
it's like it's a talk right now in
it's
Israel. But yes, I have met him.
So I'm so, so happy when you like notice and when you talk about the girlfriends. I just want to add one thing. When when I heard that he picked Maccabi, I was actually very happy for him, because he said that he thought about four nights which team to choose, Žalgiris or to join or Maccabi, and you know, this I was so happy. Why? Because he's very emotional guy, and if he had chosen Žalgiris, he would be under a massive spotlight in Lithuania every single day. Fans, media, girls at the bars. Like, and you know, Rokas is that type. He's that type of guy who's trying to give back that attention to everyone. And this is so, so exhausting. So yes, I think, you know, sometimes one decision can make, like, and change your career. And
definitely,
like, this is that decision. He is so happy in Maccabi. And maybe our listeners just don't know Rokas Jokubaitis. But just think about about a people decision. Sometimes it's like
definitely it can bring him, you know, it can bring him to another step for his career. You know, I mean, his career is super long. He's so young. Last night we saw him in the Israeli Derby. He was really, really hyped. Like, he loves the fans. He loves the system. And like you said, he loves the coach and the players. So I feel like it's a really good place for him, you know, for the continuation of his career. What do you guys think about Rokas? I mean, in general, what do you think is needed for him to even become more influential on Maccabi Tel Aviv from what you guys watched him play? Lisa?
I'm not sure if I could say anything of help, you know, regarding the environment that he would need. I just remember him playing with Barca as well. He he's just great. So, let's just cross our fingers that he will just stay steady and not get too distracted by the ladies at the bars. Yeah. And I'm sure that he will have a stellar career and keep improving and developing for sure.
Yeah, sometimes you need the time. You just need time, you know. You need to let it be as it is and see how it goes, you know. Sometimes it's just about experience, more experience. But I think he's a really good player. I like to see player like having the best time, you know, in Euroleague. Like, it makes me think about Théo Malédon too, you know, like,
yes,
they're really like just shining. You can see like they're having really fun playing in the Euroleague, so that's nice.
Definitely. Girls, we're moving to talk about a new head coach, rookie Euroleague coach Vasilis Spanoulis. He's been having a great run so far, 2-1 with his team. What does it mean to have him on Monaco, and how do we all think he's going to get along with a superstar like Mike James? I mean, I can start by saying for me, you know, that I feel like Mike James really appreciates Vasilis Spanoulis. First of all, we're talking about two combo guards, you know, doing the same thing. And he has a lot of appreciation to him. He even said for him, he's the GOAT. I think it was on Chima Muneka's YouTube channel. And, you know, he has that famous three-step back three-pointer that he does, like Vasilis Spanoulis. So I feel like he has a lot of respect and he really, really adores the way he plays. So from how I see it, I feel like Mike James will get along with Vasilis along the way. I don't think they're going to have many arguments. I mean, you girls know Mike James because he's a guy that speaks his truth, speaks his thoughts. He doesn't let anyone, you know, go pass by him. But for now, they're getting along. And also, Vasilis, he's talking so much, good things about Mike James. You know, with his first game against Panathinaikos, Mike James had like 10 assists out of the 26 assists the team had. He didn't score much. But it feels like Vasilis also compliments Mike James along the way. And I feel like it's going to be a really good coach-player duo. What do you guys think? Asta, how do you see their relationship along the season?
Yeah, I would love to add that together, James and Spanoulis have combined for over 9,000 points in their EuroLeague careers.
That's crazy.
So that's crazy. Crazy, crazy numbers. And like now they are teaming up with a lot of mutual respect between them. So I don't know. It's a privilege to watch Spanoulis. At first, it was a privilege for Šaras. Like, it's crazy. Then the legendary, like, Šaras, Spanoulis, they became the coaches. And, so I can't wait to see what's going to happen. But, you said, like, the assists. I already noticed that they broke the record. Like,
yes,
many assists. Like,
alone had 26 assists since Vasilis arrived to Monaco, and only three turnovers, which is very impressive. Mike James.
Yeah, Spanoulis made it clear that just playing more collectively and just share the ball.
And yes, it's happening, and it's happening.
Most definitely.
And having a stronger defense too. Having a stronger defense too, you know, that's why they lost. Like, it was the first defeat, but I think it's just adjustments to make. But I think I like when a former great player becomes like a coach, because they know the game, you know? They know the game, so I think like they understand each other with Mike James.
Lisa, what do you think Mike James can learn from his coach?
I think a lot, for sure. I mean, where to start? You know, his nickname, not Mike's, but Coach Spanoulis, is Kill Bill, right? So everyone, like, loves him for who he was as a player. And he's literally, like, transferring this aura that he has, really, like, wearing this suit now onto the court, but from the sideline.
Yes.
And I really feel that, he can learn. Everyone can learn. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's complete. So definitely. Maybe, you know, just... growing, developing in whatever he needs to work on. And I really feel like this whole are they going to get along or no is more a media thing than an actual topic that they would have between the two of them, right?
Yes, because you know, Mike James is older now. I feel like he's less emotional. And when we've seen him in timeouts arguing with his coaches, you know, and
maturing.
And you know, now he's matured. And also I feel like Vasilis has the ability to teach Mike a lot of things, because we're talking about a three-time EuroLeague champion, three times MVP. Yeah. Mike James is currently now doesn't have any of them.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like he needs to always be very appreciative of having Spanoulis with him. And it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see how Mike James is going to grow underneath Vasilis Spanoulis.
Did you see Vasilis was talking to him and Mike James actually listened?
Yes.
It said nothing.
Like, it didn't happen a lot. It
shouldn't be so crazy, though.
I will do it. And I was like, what? You listening now? Well, okay.
Like, yeah, he's shifting in his behavior. It seems like it.
Yeah.
And what do you think, girls, how far can Spanoulis take his team this season?
It's a hard beginning. You know, it was a hard beginning.
Definitely.
You know, so it's difficult to take a team like in the ahead of this season. So it's... I think it's going to be a good season, but I don't think it's going to be like much of a surprise of a great success. I think it's going to do like a great game, but I think it's already like late, I think, in the season right now to make something. I don't know.
I'm also thinking, like you girls, that this team will be in playoffs, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely. But about Final Four? Questionable. I don't think
we know our number one candidate for a Final Four.
Yeah.
And we have to guess three more.
Paris.
Definitely. All right. So we're going to wish Vasilis best of luck from the four of us, first of all.
Of course.
Yes. So girls, Lisa, now it's time to talk to you about Alba's back on track a little bit. I mean, Hermansson and Matt Thomas are back on the team, and David McElmork had a monstrous game. I mean, against Bologna. Did you see the interview with Julia after the game? So he's like, defining gravity.
Love it.
And now take us back to the first quarter, because you scored an amazing dunk. You jumped to the rim. And I don't know if you know, but it's very popular, a song at the moment called Define Gravity. And you totally redefined gravity. And how it's possible for people like us, teach us how to fly.
You know, if I gave you my secret talent, then everybody would be able to do it. I wish I could.
Thank you for not sharing it with me.
What do you guys teach people how to jump like you? I'm like watching and I'm like, Julia, we'll never be able to jump like David McElmork, only on a trampoline maybe. I mean, she was really, really cute. So Lisa, how do you see his entrance to the team? And do you think he might shift Alba's situation a little bit?
I mean, I would hope for them for him to be the shift, really. But coming back to what you said in the beginning, they might be back on track. I'm not sure about your guys' opinions. And I don't want to be a hater. I don't want to be a hater at all.
You're not a hater.
Just
you're
not
seeing the facts.
Yeah. I'm just not seeing it. Because if you're... And before I, you know, dig deeper there, Alba has been this incredibly important organization in German basketball for years. They shaped the German basketball landscape. They're this incredible organization, you know, on and off the court, doing so much for the whole sport in itself.
Definitely.
But this season, it's just, I don't know where to start. Like, even looking at them in the German Bundesliga, mm-hmm. they're 14th right now out of 17 teams, 3-6. They lost their quarterfinal in the cup yesterday as well. Whoa. Against the 15th seeded team. So they're out of the cup as well. And a couple of guys have been coming back for sure. And, you know, with everyone coming back, everyone like gets this hope back, right? Are they going to like maintain, or are they going to find this equilibrium really, or like some kind of stability? But I am feeling like that they are just lost at this point mm-hmm. of the season, that they're just trying to survive, and game after game, it's not happening. And if we're looking at Paris, I feel like the spiral, you know, goes up and up, and it's kind of like the self-fulfilling prophecy. Everyone is supporting each other with this crazy confidence, and everything is working out. And looking at Alba, it's the same spiral, just downwards. And it must be insane to be on that team right now. The resiliency they need to keep motivating must be crazy.
What do you guys think is the problem with Alba right now? I mean, looking at the team.
The lack of strategy, like, we see that they want to stay in EuroLeague. You see they mm-hmm. want to evolve it because they love this competition. But we're like, okay, so how do we do that? And what are you doing? Like, for example, you know, Paris, even Monaco, I mean, a lot of teams like this, like Madrid, and we can see the strategy, you know? You can see how, you know, how they think. But I think like Alba Berlin, like, we're like, it's, you know, it's clouded. Like, we cannot have like a defined strategy. What do you think?
Yeah, their identity. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Asta, how do you see the situation?
Yeah, I remember our experts saying before the season that mm-hmm. this Alba team is not the EuroLeague level team. They are EuroCup level team. Before the season, they said that. But by the way, they quite the same said about Paris. No, but like today, I would also agree that it's not the EuroLeague level team. So sorry for Alba, but not this season.
No. But on the contrary, I mean, Bayern Munich is doing a great job representing Germany in the right way. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about Carson Edwards. I mean, he's been phenomenal in the last game against Baskonia, scoring all of his 27 points in the second half. And Bayern still being undefeated in the SAP Arena. I mean, Lisa, you had an interview with him about his tape. What happened there? I didn't see it. What mm-hmm, was that? Yeah. What did you ask him?
So I figured that out the other day. He always tapes his left wrist. And mm-hmm. he always, I think, I even checked Instagram. He had it during his time with Celtics as well. Mm-hmm. And he always seemingly writes down the same words. I can't tell really what the words are, but I do read help. I do read pops. I do read mama. Aww. And have fun. And so I asked him, and I'm not sure if you've watched his post game interviews. I feel like he doesn't want to share anything that means anything to him personally. He always goes like, oh, no, I want to talk about that. I really don't want to, you know, take a side here or anything.
Yeah, about it. Yeah, but
maybe even suspicious. I'm not sure yet. So I was like, okay, so what about your wrist? And he goes like, it's just like things I like to write down because, you know, during a game, things can get really hectic.
Right.
And I feel like these are words or things that he like ground him. And this is my interpretation, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that like help him focus on what really matters. And
definitely.
That's the Carson Edwards story.
Yes, nice. I mean, you see him not talking about himself, but also by his teammates and coach knows how to compliment him and talk highly of him, you know, what he does on the court, which is really unbelievable and fun to see. What is the magic that is happening, though, in the SAP Arena? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Listen, of course, I don't know. but because then we could just replicate it everywhere. But I've actually, I'm not sure if you guys know, worked part-time with the team from 2021 through 2023. Mm-hmm. And we were back in the days, it was called Audi Dome. So there were, yes, back in the old arena, 5,500 fans or seats there. They've been struggling to fill up this arena, and I know how hard every single person in this organization works. And now seeing this SAP garden come to life, and like, in what way, it's sold out every single time. It's selling out like all the way into the new year right now already.
Wow.
It's just everything is coming together. And I feel like everyone is just playing their part. And then, you know, just as it does with Paris, things come together. And I think that's the magic.
Most definitely. I mean, we only need to replicate it to away games, their ability, because they show they're an amazing offensive team. You know, everything flows, yes, when they play at home. But somehow when they're on the away game, you see they're losing to Efes by 11 points. I mean, somehow they're struggling. I wonder what's the step they need to do in order to be victorious outside as well.
Definitely. So, and maybe even looking back one more game against Zvezda, that was, mm-hmm, even a tougher loss right there. That was the defense, you know. You, yeah, really have to, I don't know, you really have to find your rhythm on the road as well, with all the difficulties and, you know, tricks that an outside game with the travel and stuff comes up with or has in store for a team on the road. But I'm confident that they will find the right rhythm on the road as well, because coach is very smart as well. So
yes,
let's see if they can find the switch for the road victories too.
Definitely. Yeah. Asa, what do you think?
Yeah, they have been unreal at home, and yeah, seven, yes, straight win in Munich, averaging 96 points.
That's crazy.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
These numbers, this is something that we have never seen in EuroLeague history. And it's like when Žalgiris said, we're going to score 90 points per game before the season it was. And many, many fans were laughing at that. And this Munich team is actually doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, you have Carson Edwards averaging, you know, 20.4 points per game.
Top
the leading scorer of the league,
yeah, it's
right,
crazy,
now.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it kind of makes sense for Bayern to score so many points at their home game. Yeah, he's unbelievable. I mean, it's really fun watching him play. So Luna, do you have anything you want to share about Bayern Munich? Like, how do you see their, you know, winning streak at home so far?
Yeah, but I think it's more like you said at the beginning, like, I think it was like a balanced week. And I think this is one of these teams, you know, like, they win a lot, you know, when they are in their bubbles. But I think they need to know how to create this bubble away, when they are away.
Nice.
You know, how to, yes, be like in the same environment, with the same atmosphere, with the same energy. I think this season is about energy. And I think when they are like, because, you know, you can miss shots, you can miss like rebounds and stuff, but it always come back eventually. So it's about staying in the same like movement, the same flow, and
momentum.
It will come back. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
yes,
I like
definitely.
This team. I like it was. I like this player a lot. Like I think he's really interesting. Like the tape question was really funny to watch.
You're so, like, no, Lisa was like, damn, I want him to answer.
Yeah,
it.
He always just goes like, no.
No, it's not about this. It's just about, yeah.
Give you me have, something here.
You have Gordy, who is introvert. Also, Carson is introvert. Come on, someone has to bring,
yeah,
some energy.
Give me something.
Some spill the words for you.
One of my former Bayern colleagues actually came up pre-game that day, and he was like, oh, you're so lucky this year with these two doing post-game interviews. I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Lisa, and you're doing a phenomenal job, like always. Girls,
thank
we're
you,
heading towards the end of the show. I don't know if you guys know that. But before we kind of like wrap it up, let's talk about previewing the round 15. We have,
yes,
again, the French Derby, the Rabier Series game of the week.
By the way, French Derby on Friday the 13th. So, Luna, maybe you have to be careful there.
Yeah,
maybe this is,
yeah,
the first day, the unlucky day.
Look at her. You can be, look, I'm being so confident doing like the hand gesture. Come on.
You remember at the, you know, the first episode, I told you like Paris is going to surprise everyone. For now, I'm just right. Everything is happening as I planned. So like,
we need to bring it back to this episode.
I think we can, it won't be like a shame if we lose, but I think like we can make it as usual, but it won't be like,
we are tired too. So let's say like 10 wins in a row. So it's something already. So they can have it, you know, but I think it's, you know, but it's against us. So yeah. It's obvious.
I'm not sure, you know, the players will agree with you on that, but
No, they won't. So that's why I'm really confident. You know, yesterday we played like a local championship, like the French championship, and yes. They won against Monaco, and it wasn't really a good, like, it was a difficult win, but we did it
high
eventually.
Level, yeah.
And we were like, yeah, you know, even if we are tired, it's okay. It's going to be nice. So
another big game coming up, Fenerbahce against Monaco. Yeah. So we have two high IQ coaches, Charas against Panelis. Asta, how do you see this one?
I just think that we are just witnessing a new EuroLeague chapter. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait. This is going to be a really exciting game. Yeah.
Yes.
This one and a couple others, but this one especially for me, because Charas is from Lithuania, can't wait. I can't wait to watch these guys together.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be a nice head-to-head between coaches. And again, we also have Zvezda Olympiakos, Efes playing against Panathinaikos. But above all, we have Milan, which is currently now 5 wins in a row. Mirotić is returning back to Barcelona after leaving the club in 2023. Uh-huh. He's leading the league right now in a PIR with 23.4. I mean, Lisa, what do you think is going to happen there in that game?
I mean, that's a tough one. We all know that Barca is not the Barca, not the team that they plan to be this season yet, that they're still struggling or finding themselves. We know Mirotić, MVP of 2022, really has a lot in store. I'm sure that he's going to try to show his former home that he's still got it. And I found a really cool quote. He said, did quote in September, he said, "When I think about last year when we didn't make the playoffs, it really makes me sad because it was the first time in my life that I missed it. So without a doubt, I believe Milan needs to be a playoff team. Now I'm talking about finishing in the top six." So he's got a plan.
He's got a plan, and a
goal to accomplish.
Well, we will see how it comes along in the game against Barcelona. That will be super exciting. Girls, we reached the end of the episode. I cannot believe it passed so fast.
So
like,
fast sometimes.
Chris. As always.
Wow, it's soon.
It's 40 minutes.
We need an hour. Come on. We need 60 minutes.
And by the way, we didn't even talk about the star of this week, of this double week, which clearly was Madsen Lissot. Partizan anthem, with the little scarf and everything. Like, he has dual citizenship at this point, right? He's basically Serbian.
I mean, his son went into the locker room of Partizan. You know, his son is so cute. Like, the fans love him over there. But yes, Lissot has a love story with Partizan, no doubt about it. Girls, first of all, thank you so much for joining
thank
with
you,
me.
Shani.
This episode was great. So, EuroLeague fans, that's all we have for now. Don't forget, the rivalry game of this week is in round 15. Villarban Aspel against Paris Basketball, the French Derby. Thiers-Vanneddon against TJ Shorts. Make sure to watch this game on EuroLeague TV and also the other 8 games. Don't forget, come on, to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and put some comments. I mean, we read them, we react to them. We love your comments. Share with us what you have to say. And see you all next week, you guys. Girls are legends. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, girl.
Thank you.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.